Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Brandy M., and I'm a recovered compulsive reader. Today is Friday, October 22nd. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 93, second paragraph, Your Prospects May Belong to a Religious Denomination. Today's readers are Anna S. for the 12 Steps, Joanne L. for the 12 Traditions. Readers of the text are Barbara W., Eileen, Julie, and Julie E.B. Alice G. is our newcomer greeter, and Betsy H. will do announcements. The reference numbers for Thursday, October 21st, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 17959. That's 17,959. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 17963. That's 17,963. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive reader who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Anna S. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning. 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I pass.
Thank you, Anna. All right, I'll now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Brandy. Thank you for your service and everybody on the line. Joanne L. from Rhode Island, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service board or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, everyone. Have a great weekend, and I pass.
Oh, thank you. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us that we identify as compulsive readers only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 93, second paragraph, starting with, your prospects may belong to a religious denomination, reading only that paragraph. I will now ask Barbara W. to begin reading. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. I'm there.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Barbara W., recovered compulsive overeater in Olympia, Washington. Your prospect may belong to a religious denomination. His religious education and training may be far superior to yours. In that case, he is going to wonder how you can add anything to what he already knows. But he will be curious to learn why his own convictions have not worked and why yours seem to work so well. He may be an example of the truth that faith alone is insufficient to be vital. Faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish, constructive action. Let him see that you are not there to instruct him in religion. Admit that he probably knows more about it than you do, but call to his attention the fact that however deep his faith and knowledge, he could not have applied it or he would not drink. Perhaps his story will help him see where he has failed to practice the very precepts he knows so well. We represent no particular faith or denomination. We are dealing only with general principles common to most denominations. Well, a couple of things jumped out at me as I was reading this. There's a line in the Big Book that says, faith without works is dead. Works to me means action. It means I have to be doing something. I can't just sit here and pray and hope and pray and say, well, this is what I'm hoping and praying for, and then do nothing. And I've been learning that myself. I'm 75, and I'm still learning, which I actually love. I'm learning what it is to be self-sacrificing, unselfish, I am going to be moving to a different apartment in a few weeks. And as would happen, this compulsive overeater has accumulated far too many things. I'm looking at them and going, why have I kept them for the past 5 years that I've been living here? So what's interesting is I'll go down the hall and I went, I use fictitious name, and I'll say, hey, Mary Lou, wait a minute. You're the one that likes that shopping, likes shopping carts that are easy to pull. She says, you know, she nods her head and she comes back and she says, oh, I said, I have something here. So I pull out this little shopping cart that I bought, oh, I'd say a year ago. It's been sitting in the closet. I keep, every once in a while, I'll see it and go, oh, I'm not using the darn thing. And then I thought of Mary Lou. And here I take out this cart and say, it's yours. And she looks at me like, can I hug you? But we can't hug yes yet. But thank you so much. And she's a small woman, so she's pulling that cart and just beaming. And that gave me the greatest joy I could possibly imagine. Same thing for a couple of little Christmas decorations, one for dogs, one for cats. Someone I've gotten to know who has both. And she was delighted. And now I have an ironing board I'm trying to give away. I can't think of anyone who wants an ironing board. But the point is that self-sacrifice, it's unselfish and it's constructive because I'm giving them something they can use or would like or are feeling, you know, thankful about it. And I'm not going to miss it because it's too much for where I'm going. The other thing that, there's my glasses. The other thing that hit me was His religious education seems to far outstretch anything I may have had. And the differences in what beliefs are and what...
Time, please.
And someone will say, well, you know, and I'll wrap up. You may have greater faith and greater education in spiritual principles, but it hasn't kept you away from compulsive overeating.
Thank you, Barbara.
And with that, I pass. Thank you.
All right. So we will now open the lines for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Christina B.
Wendy B.
Jody.
Wendy B.
Cynthia C.
Marguerite G.
Donna B.
Kathleen O.
Okay, let me tell you who I have. I have Christina J, I think. Wendy, I didn't get your last initial. Cynthia, Margaret, Donna B, and Kathleen O. I think I missed somebody in there. Anyone else want to put their name in?
Did you get Marguerite G, or was that?
Marguerite G, yeah, I did.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Jody E.
Jody. All right, let's go with that lineup. So I have Christina J followed by Wendy. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Brandy. Thank you for your service. Thanks to everyone on the line today doing service. So what came to me this morning when I was listening to the first meeting kind of hit me over the head. I didn't come in here in 2014 with a religious denomination. I'd had one all my life, but it slowly fell away. But one of the things that hit me from that religious domination was that commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That just knocked me over this morning because that's what was blocking this recovery, this gods of ego, of selfishness, fear, dishonesty, control, not caring about others really, just wanting mine. Today I know that I must romance my heart where this higher power lives. I must romance it. I must romance this intuitive power, this soft, powerful voice that speaks to us when we get quiet, when we put the other gods down, including food. What happens when we do this? Well, for me, I recovered. And how do we do this? Got the steps. We're so lucky as addicts to have this instructional textbook. Where does this romancing of the God, of the higher power, happen? It starts in step one, the powerlessness. We come to the end of something. We come to the end of ourselves, of this desperate need. We just are lost. I put down the substance, and we just continue to work the steps, and it gets bigger and better. When I got too far away from the food, the restless, irritable, and discontent would come up. Today, when I get too far away from God, the same things happen. I get restless, irritable, discontent. Now I've got the steps in place of the food. See here, this is a personal, private relationship that I must cultivate. I must bring myself into the quiet time of prayer and meditation and allow my higher power to flood me with his presence. When I begin to feel the disconnect, I'm putting God on the back burner. I start, when that happens, with a breathing in and out of my heart space. And I feel connected almost immediately. It's really amazing, just this taking this pause. I'm basically connecting back to higher power when I do that, to that heart space where I feel my higher power lives. This program, these steps, one at a time, doing the work, romancing God in return for his grace, giving back to God by unselfish self-sacrifice to others. This is how I stay recovered one day at a time. Before finally getting recovered in July of 2020, although I was very spiritual and proud of it, I didn't romance God. I took and took the beautiful feelings he would give me from time to time, the peace, the comfort, but I did not give back through daily prayer, through the daily working with others, through the pausing and just being grateful, allowing that heart space to open and feel the presence. Today, I have to do that. So today, this program brings us such gifts if we do the work. Today, I'm going to remember this from now on. Put no other gods before me.
Time,
now I know,
please.
Now I know what that loving commandment meant and why it was given. Can't talk this morning. I'm so nervous. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Christina J. All right, Wendy, if you could just let us know your last initial, that'd be great.
Good morning. This is Wendy B. I'm recovered in Arizona. And just the line, you know, faith alone is insufficient, and to be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. And I can just really relate to this paragraph because I tried just going to church and Bible studies, and it didn't solve my problem with food. You know, if anything, you know, it gave me permission to indulge in the many unhealthy snacks, you know, provided, you know, at the Bible study groups and stuff. And I didn't have any examples of, you know, healthy eating at church, or maybe there were some, you know, I just wasn't focused on those, you know, I was just focused on the ones indulging in their sugary substances like me. And, you know, no one was calling overeating or gluttony a sin, you know, so just faith, you know, wasn't working for me. You know, it was insufficient. And it wasn't until I came into these rooms, you know, that I saw what recovery looked like and I wanted what I saw. You know, I saw healthy bodies, you know, people no longer, you know, worshiping food, you know, and I saw modeled for me this self-sacrificing program of constructive action. You know, I saw fellows setting aside their natural selfish tendencies and serving others. And that's what I get to model to the newcomers, you know. And, you know, and I actually get to model this new way of living to everyone in my life. You know, I get to practice these principles in all my affairs. And I love the line that says, I'm not there to instruct him. You know, I'm not called to be an expert, you know, but to just share what works for me, sharing my experience, my strength and hope, and not telling others what they must do. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy. All right, next up I have Cynthia, followed by Marguerite G. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, moderator. Thank you so much for your service and everybody who does service to have this meeting go today and every day. I'm incredibly, incredibly grateful to be here. And this reading brought up something a little different for me. I came into program, I started going to OA like in the late 80s and really found no recovery in OA and found myself in AA and found myself also realized I was an alcoholic, although I think it's really, my main addiction is really the sugar. It's really about the food and the sugar. I had many years in that program, and I had a number of years of recovery in a different food-oriented 12-step program. But I came into the religious way. I married my husband, who was modern Orthodox, and I moved into his realm, Jewish, and just like the previous speaker, this previous person who spoke, you know, I the day after our wedding, I lost my abstinence, and my community was all, gatherings were always about the food, so we, you know, the religious part, I thought, oh, I don't need you all anymore because I have religion now. Really, really felt like that. So for 20 years, I was in relapse. For 20 long years, I was in relapse. I gained 60 pounds in a couple months after our wedding. Like, I just was deeply, deeply, deeply into relapse and couldn't see a way out of it, and I'm in recovery for 4.5 years now, and I'm deeply grateful to have a personal relationship with a higher power, to have been worked the 12 steps and to rethink who I think my higher power is, and to be able to develop a personal relationship, be able to work through my character defects, to let them go, to learn compassion and forgiveness from myself and others, because that is what my higher power demonstrates to me. Something that does come up in this reading, and I've been thinking about a lot, and if people, you know, have any feedback for me, I'd love it if you'd reach out. It's Cynthia C. in Newton, Massachusetts. There's more than one Cynthia C. in Massachusetts. You know, I find that I have, one of my biggest character defects is people-pleasing. People-pleasing and approval-seeking. And sometimes I find when I am working with a sponsee that I feel the need to convince them why this program works. Like, they push back. They push back and they push back and they don't understand why they need to work steps. And, you know, and I had to step back from sponsoring for a few months just to, like, get my own equilibrium because I realized that's my character defect of people-pleasing. But I guess part of what I'm wondering, and I do say, you know, is your way working for you? Because my way is working for me, but is your way working for you? And no matter how many people I sponsor, whether they stay or they don't stay, I'm still here. So sponsoring is working for me. And I'm learning to be more compassionate and loving. But one of the things I guess I don't know is how to gauge a sponsee's willingness to work the steps, because I don't know any other way to recover than to work the steps according to the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. That is the only thing that has saved me. So I would love other people's feedback. Thank you so much, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, Cynthia. All right, next up we'll have Margaret G, and followed by Donna B. Good morning.
Hi, thanks. This is Marguerite, recovered compulsive eater living in Michigan. This is a really good paragraph. I'm actually earning a master's degree in theology. I did come to program with very strong religious convictions, very strong beliefs. However, I really was not willing to surrender my will and my life to God. I knew theoretically to do that, and I, you know, had a lot of prayers and different things, but the way that I was living my life was not in a state of surrender. And so, unfortunately, you know, it took developing this addiction, developing this illness, and really struggling with it for many years before I was sort of beaten into a state of submission. And then when I did come to program, I found a sponsor really quickly and started working the steps with her. You know, she guided me through the big book and gave directions, and there were specific actions, especially step 10 with surrendering these things as they come up throughout the day. Sometimes they're really big things that are going on, you know, moving or a job change or, you know, having a child, but sometimes they're really petty things too, like having a headache or or being inconvenienced, you know, by something small. But regardless of what's going on, yeah, I need to surrender. And sure, I might have read all of these different spiritual writings, you know, I might be earning this degree, but it doesn't help me unless I'm living out surrender on a daily basis. And yeah, for that, I'm very grateful to be here and to have a sponsor who isn't studying theology, but was working the steps and is living recovered and, you know, was willing to give me instruction. yeah, so with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Margaret. All right, next up I have Donna B, followed by Kathleen O. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Brandy. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado, spelled C-A-N-A. This paragraph is just serendipitously perfect timing for me. The truth is that I still struggle with a belief in God. That's my truth. Things that trip me up are things like, who created God? Is there a God who can protect me, take care of me? If there's a God, why do we die? And why do we have no idea what happens after death? And I just get really tripped up. My dad is a Holocaust survivor, and I grew up with a lot of exposure to that, and what it meant for so many people to be killed because of their religion. And I have these images in my head that sort of plague me of the things that my parents talked about while I was growing up. So there's that. And yet, I sponsor a lot of people who, by taking the steps that I took, are abstaining from compulsive overeating and bulimia, and who are then able to carry the message on to others. Some of the people that I sponsor have very deep faith in a higher power. Their relationship with God is really clear. And it appears that I am not an impediment to their recovery. Because although my faith is shaky, and my concept of God is really uncertain, I am participating in the vital parts of self-sacrifice and constructive action. When I was first introduced to the Vision for You, my very first sponsor, Big Book sponsor, I said to her, you know, I'm doing a lot of things, but I don't believe in God. And she pointed out to me that that was a problem. And I know that's my time. I will close by saying God could and would if he were sought. And despite my lack of certainty, I do continue to seek. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Donna B. All right, next up I have Kathleen O, followed by Jody E. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Brandy. This is Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California. You know, all I can really share with people is my experience and how I felt, how I acted, my hopelessness. You know, I had a problem. I was 200 pounds plus, but there's a solution, and that solution is power. So faith alone is insufficient. You know, many people have very strong religious beliefs and faith in their God. But the most challenging is to get someone to really understand and admit that they have absolutely no control over food. And to have God or any power greater do for us what we can't do for ourselves. You know, we fully concede to our innermost self that we have no power. And that accompanied, like it says here, with self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action, our prospect too can be free, you know, free from this obsession. We're dealing only with general principles common to most denominations. You know, we invite God in, use that power to solve your problem. I never thought it would work for me, but I was so hopeless and desperate, I was willing to try something new. I was willing to have a new experience. I was willing to be open-minded, to act as if sometimes. And, you know, today I have neutrality around the food. I'm in a normal-sized body. I have contented abstinence. And the best part is I'm not thinking of myself all the time. So these general principles common to most denominations, I mean, what are those principles, you know, common to most denominations? Their community, their compassion, you know, respect for human life and dignity, accountability. And that's all we're trying to get people to have and be. We're not here to tell people who to believe or what to believe in, just that there is a power, you know, one they personally choose. And we need to stop relying on ourselves. I mean, if we could have done it, it would have worked. For me, it didn't work, relying on myself. And if I could have, you know, controlled and enjoyed my eating, but I never could. And, you know, so I had to find a power that could do for me what I couldn't do for myself. And that desire did not come from someone telling me I had to believe in God or, you know, have a religious God or some religion. The bottom line was it came from within. And thanks, Brandy, I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen O. All right, Jody E. I have you up next. And then after Jody, we will take more names to share on this paragraph. Page 93, second paragraph. Your prospect may belong to a religious denomination. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Brandy, and good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in Monterey, California. This is a very interesting paragraph to me. I've often wondered about this. Why is it that people of faith, very strong faith, struggle with various addictions, food among them? And why is it that we, who have no particular, necessarily have any particular idea of God that we agree on, are able to recover from seemingly hopeless states of mind and body, such as compulsive overeating? Why is that? Well, first of all, we have to abstain from the offending substance or behavior, or both. And that's something that is not recognized in all religions. And then secondly, we need to work this program of recovery, which includes service and self-sacrifice. It also includes some kind of faith. But the faith, as has been mentioned, does not have to be strong so long as the actions are taken. To be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. And that is built in to the 12-step program. We carry the message once we have recovered. We carry the message. That is how we sacrifice our time and help others. And it does take time. But as we heard from our first speaker today, often, In giving, we are helped. We are the ones who really benefit the most. And we can stay abstinent so long as we are willing to give of ourselves and to share our experience, strength, and hope. And we can do this, we can practice these principles in all areas of our lives. It's not only in sponsoring that we sacrifice ourselves and help others. We can do it in all areas of our lives, which with experience becomes more and more joyful and enjoyable. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. All right, so we'll open up the lines again. So although we value your experience, we ask that you share, you limit your share to every third day in order so that others might share as well. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Sherry KB.
Kathleen W.
Florian G.
Stephen G.
Kathleen W.
Sherry KB.
Florian G.
L.
Sorry, Sherry KP and Lauren B. There was a man in there.
Stephen G.
At the beginning.
Oh, Stephen G. Sorry, who was that?
John.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B. Okay, I'm going to stop with that. So I'll tell you I have Sherry KB, Lauren B.
Kathleen
Stephen
W.
G, Julie E.B. and Kathleen W. If we have time. Okay, go ahead.
You can take out Julie. That's fine. Thank you. I'll just share.
Sherry KB, go ahead. Sorry, one, Sherry.
Good morning. This is Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive reader. Thanks so much for your service, Brandy, and Team Friday, and welcome everybody on the line. So I'm just going to jump right in here. So, you know, for me, when I think of the word prospect, too, just in the beginning of that, you know, to me, it's something special and important to me that's vital. It's going to help me be able to help somebody else. Because without helping somebody else, I can't, you know, this program doesn't work for me. And there's all kinds of forms of helping somebody else. And I just think about how vital that is. And, you know, when I came in, I was worried about that too, all the God stuff. And, you know, I went to an open AA meeting many years ago and heard this recovering priest say, man created religion and God's created spirituality. And so the 12-step program is about spirituality. It's not about religion. However, we do respect all religions. All religions are welcome here because we're doing this on a spiritual basis. And so, and that spirituality is a direct relationship with a higher power. And religion is somebody telling you how to have that relationship. So I know that I can work with anybody. I can, you know, just because they have religious convictions, either the same as mine or different than mine, it doesn't matter because we're here for one common reason, to recover from compulsive overeating. And so I always talk about the language of your own heart and that, you know, that we come together, we come to look for the similarities rather than the differences because we're here because we want to get well. And then on another total different spin on this paragraph is that I've worked with a lot of people who come in from other 12-step programs who, you know, say, you know, I've been in this program and that program for many years, and I can cite the big book and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and we've heard on the line, you know, your credits don't transfer here. You know, it's like we've got to start all over. That, you know, yes, you might have been in this program for this amount of years and you've done this, but we're dealing with, you know, compulsive overeating here. And I just know that that makes such a difference in helping others and keeping an open mind and how important it is. And it is vital. It's life-changing, life-important, and then constructive. Those two words come out at me with that. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So next up, I have Lauren B., followed by Stephen G. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning. This is Laureen D. from Washington State.
So I wanted to speak about, well, I did have a belief in a higher power, in God, and I was attempting to be spiritual in my church, but my God was still remote. I didn't have a personalized God of my own understanding of what I needed. So when I came into the vision, I had the gift of desperation, and I was real, and that made me willing to ask for help, because it was a hard thing for me to ask for help. And that was one of my first surrenders of dying to myself, was the willingness to ask for help. And I was extremely fortunate to get a very, very good sponsor immediately. And I trusted her. I had faith in her. When I heard people announce themselves in these meetings and they stated they were recovered, I could hear the conviction, and I wanted that. And so when I got my sponsor, I knew she was recovered, and I knew she knew how to do that, and I knew that I wanted what she had. And she was a very, very, very kind sponsor, and she knew what I needed to do. She knew that I needed to do what she did. And some of the requirements that she had me do was to make 2 phone calls every day to recovered fellows. And that was something I did not want to do, but I wanted to recover. And every day I did that, I died to myself to make those phone calls. I surrendered to that. And so by the time we got to step 3, I had had all these surrenders and started to have a paradigm shift in my head, and that's what I needed. And she was a very gentle, kind, very good sponsor, and I'm so grateful for this program, and I'm grateful to be recovered from my mental obsession and for my obsessive food behaviors. I'm grateful to this program. So with that, I'm going to pass. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, next up I have Stephen G. Good morning, Stephen.
Hi, good morning. This is Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Canada. This paragraph is telling me again a common theme about how to approach the still suffering compulsive overeater. And the theme that keeps getting repeated, and it's been said before in the Big Book, is that never speak to a compulsive overeater from any moral high ground. And frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. I can only share my experience. And there's a number of places in this paragraph where it refers to education or knowledge or faith or thinking, and really just human thinking and human power. And we've learned that that doesn't work. We need to access a higher power in order to recover from this disease. And I spent a lot of time in my early recovery stuck at step 3, thinking, trying to get an understanding of what this God or higher power thing was. And I've learned that I can't get anywhere by thinking. I can only access higher power by specific action. So step 3 tells me to make a decision. It doesn't tell me I have to understand God. It tells me to make a decision. And the decision is now to move forward into action. And I don't have to know what that action will be. The book is actually going to specifically tell me what those actions are. And when I take those actions, then I'm going to access that higher power. That's what happened to me. And what I found was that I was lost. Higher power wasn't lost. When I specifically took those actions, it didn't matter what I believed, but this higher power found me. And the way I know that is because I was able to abstain and I felt peaceful. And I couldn't do that without doing this. And it really didn't matter whether I believed in God or not. I only had to take those actions. And I couldn't be convinced by another person. Only the disease would convince me to take that action, because I was in so much pain and I had no other option. No sponsor could convince me of that. And when I did that, I got recovered. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, next up I have Kathleen W. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning. This is Kathleen W. from Illinois. Thank you for your service, Brandy, and you're doing such a great job, and for all the shares. I've never really paid much attention, really, to this verse or even to this chapter of working with others. I have worked with others, but now that we're going through it, I'm getting such a much deeper understanding into the kind of work that I need to do. And I came out of a relapse in September of 2020. I didn't call it a relapse. I was still going to meetings from time to time, you know, but floundering and not, you know, in and out of, you know, struggling with this food and that food, though I had some absence from foods. But one of the things that I didn't want to do anymore in that relapse was working with others. And so I really have been praying in this year of recovery that since September, that God gave me a desire to work with others. And as I took the action, as it was told, it's what I love about this vision meeting. People talk about action, but not just works for the sake of works, but works of faith, trusting God and taking the action. Those two things for me, that has to go hand in hand. Trust God and take the action. And I did that by calling others, reaching out, same thing. My sponsor had me calling newcomers. Didn't want to do that. Embarrassed to do it, thinking I was imposing upon people. Made a big thing that, and or stalking them, or whatever crazy thought I thought about it. But I did it anyhow. And as I began to take the action, as was stated before me, I began more and more to recover. My thoughts began changing. My thoughts to want to begin to help others. I realized when I made those calls, people were interested in hearing it. They were some desperate to hear what I had to say, just what small amount of share that I my experience that I gave them. And so through this year, I've had a new spiritual experience, and I'm beginning to get more and more excited about, you know, working with others and serving others and seeing how it's an integral part of my recovery to do that. I've been in recovery for 26 years, and I have served others, but it's just a growing understanding and need for me to have this, to live this life of self-sacrifice, unselfish and constructive action. I, too, have a sponsee that is far more educated than I am, and it was very intimidating to me to think about that I had anything to offer to this person. But, you know, God really spoke to my heart, and it's
time,
like,
please.
It's, you know, just to wrap up, it wasn't what I had. It's what God had in me that this person reached out to me and needed it. And I just trusted God, you know, you speak through me. And so it's been, you know, it's been good. And with that, I'll wrap up. Thanks a lot. Bye now.
Thank you.
Brandy, you want to press star one?
Can't hear you, Brandy.
We might have lost her.
Brandy.
Are you able to hear me?
Now we can hear you.
Yay. Okay, great. So we might have lost her. Let's see if we can get her to chime back in. Sure, you don't happen to know who is up next to speak, do you?
I think I was the last one, Kathleen W.
Okay, great. Thanks, Kathleen W. Let's look at the time. Oh, yeah, it looks like it's time to wrap up. So let's. What I'd like to do is start the wrapping up process here, if you don't mind, folks, by thanking everyone that was in service today.
This is Julie E.B.
Hi, Julie E.B.
Reading. This book is meant to be suggestive only. Let's see. And wondering where my bifocals are. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. the answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you do not have. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.